It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
So much for the accusation that what we see on video with Joe Biden is fakery produced by artificial intelligence, or Joe Biden's actions and words being taken out of context. The entire country saw him live for 90 minutes, and even Democrats are calling for him to step down. As one who has participated in many debates, I've been very vocal about the fact that when we see these presidential debates, we're not seeing real debates. The moderators pick the questions. Oftentimes, the moderators themselves debate with the hosts. That didn't exactly happen this time. That was a very pleasant surprise. But let's review what happened. President Trump, for months now, has been saying he'll debate Biden anytime. I don't think the Democrats were too eager for that to happen, but they called President Trump's bluff and did it in a way that they were stacking the deck for Biden. Mics could be cut off. It won't be in front of a live audience. It will be on CNN. The moderators, including Jake Tapper, will be people that have been so biasly anti-Trump. Tapper was comparing Trump to Hitler. And I think what was going on is they were making it look like they were calling Trump's bluff, but they were going to offer him something that he could not possibly accept. Trump may have felt backed into a corner because he said anytime, any place. So they said, okay, CNN with all these rules, and Trump accepted. But then that in turn backed the Biden campaign into a corner. They were expecting Trump to turn it down, I believe. And then they were going to go, see, we offered to debate, but Trump didn't have the stomach for it. So I think both men got put into a situation that they didn't particularly want. Trump wanted to debate. He didn't want to debate that way. Much to his credit, he came anyway, and oh my goodness, it was messy. He absolutely slaughtered Joe Biden. He would have done that anyway, just on the issues. I was paying more attention to the issues. I was paying more attention to every time Biden opened up his mouth and lied. I know everybody else, the big takeaway is the way he came across, that he seemed too old and feeble and weak. Look, he's been coming across that way for a very long time. And watching him in 90 minutes, yeah, there were moments where he looked like a deer in the headlights and stuttered and said unintelligible things, but not as many as you would think. Rumor had it that he was going to be jacked up on some kind of drug. That's still probably true because he refused to take a drug test, which Trump challenged and said he'd be willing to take himself. But whatever they put him on, it did not work. Still, you have to remember that even though for most of the 90 minutes he actually seemed to be hearing what Trump was saying and arguing and he was coherent, his moments where he was bad were so bad, and there were so many people, they were saying something like 70% of the country, 75% of the country were probably watching these things, millions upon millions, who were maybe experiencing these gaffes of Biden and meltdowns from Biden for the very first time. It was not fun. Now, as soon as the debate was over, I was mostly interested in looking at what the mainstream media was saying because they spin this so much. And remember, just last week, in a previous monologue, I talked about this idea about CGI and fakery in the videos. Well, they couldn't say it this time because everybody was aware that all over the country we were seeing this thing live, broadcast by CNN, but simulcast on Fox and on the radio. So they couldn't get away with this anymore. And it was really interesting to see some of the immediate headlines that came out from the mainstream media. Let me share a few of them. Media, ITC, looks and sounds ancient. Biden's appearance roasted minutes into CNN debate with Trump. Associated Press, The first half hour of debate, a raspy Biden delivers rambling answers. Politico, Biden is toast. Calling it now, Biden stumbles, rambles in opening of debate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just the smallest sample. All kinds of headlines have come out since then. So many people in the media who like Joe Biden are now calling him to step down. Others are saying they want to see it through. But let me comment on various things that happened. First of all, I must say the moderators were much more objective, much more fair than we would have thought. It could be that so much pressure was going on. People like Sean Hannity and others were playing so many clips of their vile hatred for Donald Trump. And it may be that they were just on their guard to carry themselves like journalists and not like Democratic hacks. My friend Mike Friedenberg had a very interesting idea, though. He felt that maybe they wanted to take Biden out. And he felt that there's such a collusion between the mainstream media and the Democratic Party that maybe the orders issued were just ask fair questions to Biden and let him be Biden and don't cover for him because they're thinking it's early, it's June. That may have been one of the reasons they went for it early. We're before the convention. There's time to fix this. That was Mike Friedenberg's theory. The other theory, as I just mentioned, is that maybe these people were being conscientious of the fact that they were under so much criticism before they went out there. But what you have to remember is, generally speaking, these people in the mainstream media are playing for their peers and their friends, and they don't really care what Fox News or talk radio or other conservatives are saying about them. So who knows? Mike Friedenberg may be onto something, but whatever it is, I must give credit where credit is due. I must be fair. The moderators didn't do such a bad job. Sure, they talked about January 6th and Trump's indictments. There were a lot of predictable things that they did, but they saved some of that for the end, and they actually talked about some major issues. So let's be fair. Let's give them some credit, whatever the motives were, whatever the plan behind the scenes might have been. Now, one of the criticisms was that often the candidates did not answer the questions that the moderators gave them. That's true, but I go back again to what real debates are supposed to be. In a real debate, the people debating are supposed to decide for themselves what they want to talk about. So I have to tell you, I don't really care that they didn't answer the moderator's questions as completely as they could have. I'm fine that the candidates chose to talk about what they wanted to talk about to defend what they wanted to defend. Another criticism was toward the end when they started getting into that tit for tat over who plays a better game of golf. But ironically, this was one of the times when they were answering the question from the moderators, because the moderators asked them about their physical condition. So Trump, in addition to talking about the fact that he was willing to take a mental acuity test, goes on and talks about the game of golf he plays, and then Biden has to brag that he plays a better golf. Yeah, it was kind of a silly, stupid time in the debate, but that's exactly what the moderators had asked them to do. No, they didn't want them to get into golf, but they brought up physical ability and mental ability. They opened up that door. So on one hand, people are complaining that they didn't answer the questions of the moderators, but here's another time where they did answer those questions, and then it just goes to show that people should be able to get up there and talk about what they want to talk about. They are the debaters. I really don't care what the moderator's agenda was. But on to the heart of the debate. For a week, Joe Biden, instead of doing his job as president, was preparing for this debate. There were many people helping him. Naturally, Biden kept accusing Donald Trump of being a liar, but Biden was caught in lie after lie. He says Trump did nothing to stop what happened on January 6th. Trump pointed out the fact that he offered to call out the National Guard, that he suggested they bring in the police, that Nancy Pelosi and the mayor of Washington, D.C. did not want that. Biden says he's put more police out on the streets than we had under the Trump administration. Well, that would be news to people out on the streets, and almost every police organization is supporting Trump. Biden says that America is still respected all over the world and nobody wants to screw around with us. Trump is saying that people are laughing at us. Nobody wants to screw around with us? Well, what about Putin invading the Ukraine? Do you think he would have done that under Donald Trump? What about the fact that under Donald Trump, Iran was no longer being funded and that funding returned under Biden, funding that went to Hamas and enabled the October massacre? One of Biden's biggest lies was that he has the endorsement of the Border Patrol. Right after that debate, the Border Patrol issued a statement. To be clear, we never have and never will endorse Joe Biden. Biden claimed that under his administration, no American servicemen died. Well, what about that Afghanistan fiasco? We had servicemen die. We had American civilians left behind. He continued lying about the laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop. He continued lying about Charlottesville. I've talked about this again just recently, and Snopes has come out and finally condemned this as a lie, better late than never. Trump was quoted out of context saying they were very fine people on both sides, but he also said there were evil people on both sides. The evil people were the KKK on one side, Antifa on the other side, and the good people from the South were people that were just protesting the tearing down of statues. If Biden knew he was taking Trump out of context, he was a pathological liar, and he claims that Trump said saying that was his reason for running for president. If Biden didn't understand the context, then he was too stupid to be running for president. Either way, it did not acquit Biden well. But that has since been debunked, and Biden knew it was a lie, and he doubled down on it. So what's going to happen now? Well, there's a big split in the Democratic Party. There are some people that are still just delighted with Biden being in power because he's a marionette on a string and they can control him. And that was more or less the case back in 2020 when he campaigned from his basement because they were planning to fix the election. They probably are not as confident in their ability to fix the election this time because people are going to be much more careful. I don't believe these trials and indictments that did come from the Biden administration, who are we kidding, were a coincidence. They were thinking no matter how incompetent Biden is, if Trump's in jail, he can't be president. Or if Trump's in jail, he won't be able to effectively campaign. So there are some people that still want to carry him across the finish line, but it was such a disastrous performance last night. There are many in the Democratic Party that do want to get rid of him. Now, that's easier said than done. Biden has already won a lot of delegates. He would have to voluntarily step down. You'd think his wife Jill and other family and friends would come around him, do an intervention if they really loved this man, if they really cared about him, and they would encourage him to step down. But he has to make that decision. If he steps down now, Kamala Harris immediately becomes president, and her poll numbers are as bad as his. They could talk him into remaining as president, but just not running for re-election. That would release the delegates, and they could bypass Kamala Harris. Some people are saying maybe they would go to Governor Newsom. I'm one of the ones that's fearful it could go to Michelle Obama, because there'll be a big stink if the first woman, an African-American vice president, isn't chosen as the nominee for president should Biden step down. But if they were to go to Michelle Obama, A, they could still check both of those boxes. B, she's much more popular. You've heard me say that before. I won't get into it again. Either way, we're in for some very, very interesting times. But one thing is clear, one lie they can no longer tell. President Biden is in great shape. You should see him behind the scenes. It's just the Republicans and conservatives doctoring up these videos. They can't say that one anymore. They can't play that card anymore. Now, I do want to mention the accusation that Trump lies, and I need to be fair. I very much like Donald Trump. I couldn't stand him when he first was running in the Republican primary. He grew on me, but he does have issues, and I'm not going to pretend that he doesn't. Trump exaggerates a lot. He talks about how perfect things were, or they never saw this, or they always saw that. He makes those sweeping, braggioso statements, and technically, yeah, you can call those lies, but a lot of that can be written off to talking off the cuff, off the fly, and not thinking about the fact that when we talk, we do tend to talk in generalities. But okay, if you want to, you could technically call those lies because he's making statements that aren't true. That's not the same as a cold, calculated lie, like Biden lying about Charlottesville or lying about Hunter's laptop. There was something that happened during the debate when abortion came up, though, and they were talking about the abortion pill, and Trump said he was in favor of the abortion pill, but he said it very quickly, and in context, he was talking a lot about states' rights, so it's possible that all he meant was he felt that the states had the right to decide. He also talked about the fact that many pro-life people will offer exceptions in the case of a woman being raped or the mother's life being in danger. Trump said he was among them. I am, too. I'm very much pro-life. If I were to meet a woman who had been raped and was considering having an abortion and she asked me for advice, I would still say, horrific as this is, and much as I understand where you're coming from, that's still a life inside of you, I would still try to talk her out of the abortion. But if she went ahead and had one, I would be more understanding, and I certainly wouldn't want to see her in jail. So technically, legally, I would view that as an exception. Well, that's the context where Trump was talking about the pill, because as you know, if a woman has been raped, one thing she could do is take an abortion pill and immediately see to it that she's not going to be pregnant. Problem is, women take the abortion pill for other reasons, but since Trump was couching it in that context, I hope he did not mean that he thinks it's okay as a general rule in an ordinary situation for a woman to take the abortion pill. But this is something he needs to clarify. I hope he does. He probably will. However, let me talk to my pro-life friends. If he doesn't clarify it, you still have to draw a distinction between Trump and Joe Biden, who refused to say he would put any limits on the time of an abortion at all. That includes the third trimester. That includes the fact that we even had a governor in Virginia who was, they didn't pass this law, but he stated that he was willing to see the baby put to death after the baby was born if it was a botched up late term abortion that the mother had intended to abort. So you're still choosing between somebody who believes in the abortion pill and downright infanticide after a baby has been born or in the last trimester where the baby's completely developed and viable. You have to have some perspective. You don't always have a perfect choice or a perfect candidate. So it would be horrible if Trump lost the support of the pro-life community. But that happens. From my conservative and Christian friends, I can't in good conscience vote for somebody who would accept abortion under any means. Okay, well then by not voting for him, and even if you don't vote for Biden, but you just stay home, you're splitting the conservative vote by helping Biden into power, and you would be helping Biden into power, you're putting somebody who's even more severe about abortion into power. You've got to have some perspective. Well, those are my thoughts on a debate that will certainly go down in history. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. I would like to introduce to you, and it's his first time on the radio, my good friend and fellow conservative, Jose Perez. We've been friends since 2006. Jose works at Solar Turbines. He's a designer out there, and I've been going out there doing Bible studies in their chapel about once a month, rotating with other pastors. Jose and I hit it off. We're good friends, and a lot of times we'll go out to lunch and we'll chew the fat. So today we're going to chew the fat on the air a little bit and also say hello again to our producer, Brendan Thomas. How are you today, Brendan?
I'm doing fantastic, Bob. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing okay. Well, Jose, you saw the debate, didn't you, on Thursday night?
Yes.
You heard some of my thoughts. What are some of your thoughts about that debate?
I'd like to start by saying where I'm coming from in the Hispanic community on this.
That's very interesting because it's just assumed. It's one of the liberal talking points that Trump is a racist, that he's anti-Hispanic, but the Hispanic vote is very much going Trump's way, and most Hispanic people in the polls are saying they believe in strong borders. Isn't that one of the best kept secrets from the left?
Well, I grew up in a Hispanic community that favors family, favors religion, favors the country. My mom, when she was pregnant, she went on a vacation to Aguascalientes and had me there. Then she brought me to Tijuana, and then they came to San Diego. And I grew up in a largely Hispanic community, Logan Heights, which later became Barrio Logan. I went to Burbank Elementary, then later went to Lowell Elementary, then to Memorial Junior High, San Diego High, and went to Morris High. Then I went to the colleges here, which was La Mesa City College, Southwestern, before transferring over to San Francisco City College and in San Francisco State. But in the Hispanic community, for the most part, they're hardworking people, period. They want to do their thing, go to work, come back, take care of their family, and have a safe place to live. Well, in the past few years, they've seen their communities deteriorate with homelessness, drugs,
defunding the police.
And it's very upsetting because they can see the dismemberment of a good community, a good system. So the debates, to boil it down to a simple factor, is good versus evil, period. And what we saw and what we were looking at in the debate was somebody who was extremely, extremely out of touch.
Well, not only is Biden incompetent, but I would say that he is evil. And I feel bad for him or anybody that gets dementia, but I've been following his career for over 40 years, and he was a pathological liar, even at full faculties. And people need to realize that at full faculties, we would still be having the identically same policies from this guy.
It's obvious by some of the things that you see on TV, even they can't cut it out. Like I saw on TV him smelling the tops of little kids.
Oh,
and women.
Women, oh, yeah.
And I'm like, who does that?
No, Sean Hannity used to call him sleepy, creepy, crazy Uncle Joe.
And then some of the ways that he looks at people, it's like in the debate, he had these bright, wide eyes when he was thinking of saying something that you know it came out and it's not true because you know it's not true. And then his eyes went kind of like squinty when he was attacking.
Yeah, the cameras didn't do them justice with the split screen because you saw the look on Trump's face and you saw the look on Biden's face.
Oh my gosh.
You had a Grand Canyon of golf between the persona of them.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And when I was talking to a few people that I know that are also Hispanic, but some of them are from Puerto Rico, and some of them are from D.C.
More liberal-leaning, you mean?
A little bit, yes.
Are they still after that debate?
Well, you know. Well, and they don't understand why I'm a conservative and a registered Democrat. And I don't even try to explain to them.
I'm guessing that you don't ever vote Democrat, but you've had some reason.
Yes.
I did that for years, too. I was a registered Democrat. I never voted Democrat. At the moment, I'm a registered independent, but I understand. I've been there myself.
Well, I became a Democrat because of John F. Kennedy. I was in high school.
Yes, the Kennedy-Johnson Democrats. That's not the Democratic Party anymore.
And the teachers talked about him really like they put him on a pedestal. And I remember his assassination and how everybody cried.
Well, if you look at any of Kennedy's policies that he had back then, they'd all be conservative.
Now. Yes, sir.
And people forget, liberal was once a good word. It meant pushing the envelope, sir. Not following along with the status quo. But now we have to be woke. We have to be politically correct. We have to march in step. So liberal is not liberating anymore. The word liberal does not really do justice.
Yes, sir. And that's what I saw in the debate. That's what I saw. The use of words by the Democratic Party, words that to you and I are neutral, and some of them are good, but they're using it to ruin the meaning of it. It's very disheartening to see that, to hear those words, and they go, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't mean that progressive. It means you progress. You know, that's good. You're progressing from one thing to another. Now it's a dirty word. If you're progressive, I mean, for my part, for my friends, when they see and they're talking to a progressive, they know they're going to be losing a battle in trying to convince them that, hey, God, country, and family go first. And then everything else. No, sex is first. Making sure that your pronouns are all correct is first.
Oh, this pronoun stuff is insanity.
I had a friend, they asked him, what's your pronoun? He says, my name. My name.
Yeah.
Call me by my name. But yeah, that's what we thought about the debate.
Would we have ever thought the day would come where simply using the words he and she would make you paint it as a racist? It just shows how slowly the frog has been boiled. So how many friends would you say believe in secure borders, people from your community? Because according to popular opinion, it's so funny because in the name of fighting racism, I think it is so racist to say that all Hispanic people, just because they're Hispanic, have got to be liberal and not believe in the border. What an insult. You must find that incredibly insulting.
Oh, it is. It is. And the majority of the people that I know in the Hispanic community who have gone through immigration, I've gone through immigration.
Because yeah, they've gone through it the correct way.
My mom had me in Mexico. She forgot to fill the paperwork to make me a citizen, go to the embassy. And
So after you got here, you had to go through a lot of steps.
It took me 2 years.
Yeah. And then everybody other people just walk across the border and they got free health care and free college.
Everybody in my family was a U.S. citizen except for me. And I had to go through, stay in line, go fill out the paperwork, come back the next day, and then go to another building and then wait and wait and wait. And then, oh my gosh, I don't want to go through that again ever.
Also, people don't realize many of the Border Patrol agents themselves are Hispanic.
Yes.
And they love Trump and they can't stand Biden. And the latest polls I've seen, Trump is leading with the Hispanic community, taken off a big slice of the African-American community as well. But you don't hear this on most news programs.
No. And it's disheartening. This thing about the Republican Party and the conservatives being racist are another way the Democrats use tactics to kind of disingenuously paint the other side as evil.
It's so, bumpkin for the masses, and it's a control technique.
I was in the military for 23 years, in the Air Force and Navy. I was a jet engine mechanic.
You were in the Air Force and the Navy both?
No, not at the same time.
No, well, no.
You cracked me up.
No, but I meant consecutively?
Yes,
you were in
consecutive,
one and the
other? Yes.
Yeah.
And even there, when we got discussions about politics, it always turned into, oh my gosh, you're conservative, you're evil. Where did you get this from?
Especially since you're all there in the military trying to defend the country together. You'd think that would be one place where you wouldn't hear that nonsense.
Yes, and I would tell them, I'm asking, you're a Democrat like me, aren't you? And they would say yes, but it wasn't that many people that thought that way in the military. The majority of the people in the military are conservative. They love the country. That's why they're there.
And now they're probably wondering why they spent so much time and bloodshed defending
the country.
Oh,
my God, yes.
Look at our current commander-in-chief. Look at the kind of shape we're in. Look at the human rights and First Amendment rights and Second Amendment rights that are being taken away from people.
And their livelihood is being taken away just because they didn't want to get a shot. An injection that was experimental.
We shut down our whole republic for a disease with a 99% recovery rate. We will go down in history as the stupidest generation that ever lived. I know you want to talk in general about the woke movement for a few minutes.
Go get me started.
we'll barely have time to just get you warmed up here.
It's ruining our schools. It's not a good thing that they want to put out there. They're not doing it for the children. They're doing to indoctrinate and to change their minds in such a way that they hate this country, they hate God, and they hate the family. Look at some of these laws that are taking away parents' rights.
Oh, I know. And these are little kids. If an adult wants to transition or change genders, okay, free country. These are little kids. A little kindergartner or first grader says he feels like he's a boy when he's a girl, and we just roll over and play dead, and then the parents aren't allowed to be informed. This is a form of child abuse.
And why have these books on teaching elementary school kids about sex? I don't understand it at all.
It's insane times we live in. Something's going to have to happen or our country's going to go over a precipice. Okay, hold with me over the break. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
People are enjoying Bob Siegel's time travel novel, Push the Winds Around. Check out these customer reviews on Amazon.com. This is one of those books like certain movies where you keep thinking about it long after you finished. Once I picked it up, I didn't want to put it down until I'd read the entire book. Literally, a page-turner. Every character came to life. Their personalities were well-defined and consistent. First thing I did after I finished the book was to ask about the sequel. The next customer said, I read this book cover to cover in one sitting. Great read with completely unexpected ending that left me wishing there was just one more chapter. Give yourself a couple of hours to read it all at once because you won't want to put it down. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined by my producer, Brendan Thomas, and my friend Jose Perez is still in the studio. Brendan, what's on your radar today?
Well, I wanted to respond a couple of things to the debate as well. So
yeah,
I got
right ahead.
5 takeaways, one of which you did mention in the monologue, which is the fact that Trump did exaggerate a bit.
He a does, lot of people that. He said does that a lot. He does that a lot.
And he does it a lot. And like you said, we exaggerate all the time, even on this radio
and
show.
And when someone talks as much as he does without a script, without a it's going to happen.
Exactly.
We never had this. That was perfect. Of course, nothing in life works that way.
Exactly, exactly. Takeaway number 4. The only time I saw Trump and Biden get like really excited and at each other
was when they're talking about their golf game.
Exactly. Yeah. I got a 6 handicap on my... Yeah,
so people were saying it was the only thing Biden said that got Trump riled up.
I know. And I'm like, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, well, I thought the question was about our government spending or how our foreign policies have been doing. Why are we talking
about... If they want to ask about golf. I want to know why Obama was out on the golf course the day ISIS cut a guy's head off. That's what I want to know.
I want to know that too, but unfortunately they never asked that. Third takeaway, CNN, I think, actually did a pretty decent job.
I mentioned that. Whatever the reason, it was not as bad as we thought. It sure could have been worse.
I do worry about when September comes around, the next network, whether it be Telemundo, MSNBC, one of the other liberal networks that'll host the next one that Biden will decide. I think they're really going to be pushing at Trump on this next one, honestly.
Probably, because it's occurring to them that he may just win this thing.
Yeah, so they're going to try anything they can to help switch up this whole thing for Biden and hopefully have a better look on him on the next one, but I don't know. I'm still not there about Michelle Obama being a replacement, Bob.
I know. Everybody's telling me she doesn't want it. And boy, I hope I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. So I hope I am.
Now, guess who was there in Atlanta? I don't know if you noticed the pre-show there.
I don't remember if it was Atlanta, but I know that they interviewed Newsom that night.
Yeah, it was in Atlanta. And he happened to be in Atlanta, Georgia for some reason. Scratch my chin.
Yeah, he's going all over the country telling people he's not interested in the job of president.
But he's at the presidential debate. He was at the rally.
Well, now there are some people, though, that are thinking that Newsom and Whitaker and some of these other names that they're bringing up don't want to go against Trump because they know they'll lose. And they're thinking, if I just wait 2 years into the Trump presidency, I can start campaigning for the next presidential election. There's some merit to that position, too, I believe.
So they're just using Biden as a scapegoat now for this because they've just officially given up? Is that what they're trying to say?
Hard to know. I know that the people that are controlling Biden, if they could possibly leave him in, they want to because they know that they're the real ones running the country. But it may just be getting impossible after what happened the other night.
Right.
But who knows? One thing about this election, I think anything could happen. If Biden drops out next week, I won't be surprised. If he stays in till November, I won't be surprised. It could really go either way.
Gotcha. Did you see Obama's tweet? I want to say it was the day after the debate.
He claimed solidarity, which is interesting because here's the thing. Every one of those Democrat pundits, you just look at them the day before, they were all talking about how anybody who claims that Biden has some mental problem is part of a conspiracy theory. I wondered where they suddenly all got the courage to speak the truth at the same time. It seems like someone gave them a green light. And if Obama has since come back, we may see them switch again. So it's going to be interesting in the days ahead to see what happens.
And then he goes on to say, hey, listen, everyone has a bad debate night. And he shows a clip of his debate back in 2012 where he flubbed a line. And he's like, see, everyone.
What people forget is his good debate night was when the impartial moderator, Candy Crawley, corrected Mitt Romney and fact checked him. And her fact check was an incorrect fact. But it won the debate for Obama because people look in the moment and then they go home and decide who won the debate.
So I don't know. I still have a feeling they will replace him. I have a feeling it is Newsom because I think it's kind of weird that he went to the rally before with Biden and then it was weird that he happened to be in Atlanta with the president.
Well, you know what? He has more charisma than Biden and he has better hair than Biden and unfortunately to a lot of our voters, that is all that's going to matter. Yeah. It's all they're going to need to know about him.
Yeah. I agree.
Last 2 points I wanted to make. What the heck was Jill Biden doing on the side? Way to go, Joe. You answered all my questions.
She sounds like an elementary school. Good boy, Joe. You answered everything. We talked to our dog that way. Good girl, Molly. Good girl.
Let me give you a biscuit.
Oh my gosh, how patronizing.
I talked to my 10-month-old son that way. I would talk to an
8-year-old. Why does she want to let her husband make a disgrace of himself? Does she love the power of being first lady that much?
I guess so. I can't. And then my last thing I wanted to say is that there's also rumors that Kamala Harris might just all of a sudden overstep and go ahead and run for presidency. That's the one I worry about the most because, again, we've talked about the 2008 election where people were so focused on, I'm voting this person just because
they're checking boxes. Now, here's the thing. According to the polls, there are a lot of female African Americans that will get behind Kamala and will be enraged. But a lot of the male African Americans are going toward Trump, and a lot of them may not care. We already had our male African American president. They may not care if a female African-American gets in there or not. So it'll be interesting to see the split between male and female African-American. And again, I know there's many conservative female African-American. I don't want to paint them all with a brush, but I'm just talking about the way the polls just the polls are looking right now.
And I also wonder what her approval rating is, because I never see her.
It's worse than Biden's.
Is it?
Okay. It's worse than Biden's.
I've never heard
He can't string three sentences together. She can't ungiggle three sentences together.
Yeah. I just thought of one more takeaway from the debate. Weird that Biden was speaking. He has his final statement, and the moderator says, Mr. President, you still have 47 seconds, and he just stands there.
This was the first time, I think, in a debate where neither of them took their entire time, and they gave them more time. They were keeping it. What's also interesting is whatever cocktail they gave to Joe didn't kick in during the debate, but it kicked in the next day.
Exactly.
Because he went and did a rally, and he sounded like he did in the State of the Union message, which he's still a blithering idiot, but he has more energy and more excitement, and he yells and screams and rants and raves more. But he's not as docile. He sounds just as idiotic.
But Joe blamed it on him having a cold that day. And I'm okay, like, well, you spoke really well.
I've often gone on the air with a cold. The very first time I did a public debate at UCSD, I had a cold and I was getting laryngitis. First thing you do is you acknowledge the big elephant in the room. I got up. I have a cold. I'm losing my voice. You'll have to excuse me. That's just common sense. That way they're not going to listen to the tone of my voice and think, oh, well, he's not able to answer the question. If Biden had a cold, you bet they would have let everyone know that before the debate. Yes. Why were they telling us that during the debate?
So again, it just shows that he's very incompetent as our president, and hope that we just don't have a second term with this guy.
Oh boy, bring in those automatic machines, get ready for the 12 midnight shutdown again, get the jails. They're thinking of every, and see, that's the other thing. People are going, how could they possibly run Biden and think he's going to win? Well, if they're planning to cheat or planning on Trump being in jail, none of that matters. And that's what we've got to think about. You bet they've got something up their sleeves. Don't disbelieve that for a second.
Yeah, there was one small portion of Trump. I think he had my best line there. He looks at Biden and he goes, what are we doing here, really, Biden? We're wasting time debating right now for an hour and a half when our country's in absolute shambles because of your mistakes.
Absolutely.
I love that. That's the best line you made in that debate in the entire
The other line of his that apparently has gone viral on the internet is, I have no idea what he just said, and I don't think he does either.
It's very, I try watching like with captioning, and I swear to you, it says mumbles a couple of times. I swear. I don't know why.
Mumbles, bumbles, stumbles.
All right. So,
y quiero decir a mi comunidad hispana que por favor vayan a votar este noviembre.
And that means?
It means to my Hispanic community, go and vote. Well, we're going to lose this country.
And here's a man that said something and he knew what he said. Good boy, Jose. Yeah, good boy. we're having fun here today. Yes.
So I have a couple of stories for guys here. I'll start with a happy story. The two pandas that we were promised from China have officially arrived to the San Diego Zoo. Guess where I'm going to tomorrow, I guess.
The San Diego Zoo.
That's right, yeah. Hopefully they don't have any communist ideas that they're going to spread.
Just as long as they don't look like Jack Black when he was wearing that American flag overalls uniform.
Yeah, so I know exactly what I'm going to be doing tomorrow, seeing those giant pandas. It's been 21 years since we got rid of the pandas, apparently. I can't believe it's been that long.
Well, you know, Dana and I have annual zoo passes, and we just renewed our SeaWorld pass, but I got to tell you, we were with Dana and her son and their kids. We were in line for Italian ice cream. They called it frozen custard. We were in line for about 20 minutes, and the whole sign says custard. That's what everybody's in line for. When we get to the front of the line, they say, we're all out of custard.
Oh, no.
I said, so why didn't you put up a sign instead of telling us when we get to the front of the line? No answer. Anyway, I just had to say that. You talked about the zoo. It made me think of my experience at SeaWorld.
I can understand. By the way, I made a mistake. It's been since 2019, since China recalled all the giant pandas from the U.S. so they can try to help with the population of the giant panda community.
Apparently. Well, I'm glad it's not 2020 or China would send the pandas here with masks on.
Exactly.
And that's where I met Dennis Prager at SeaWorld.
Oh, there you go.
You did? Really? Yeah, did. Oh, he's a great guy. I've met him, tall. Too. He's a big guy, but he's just as warm off the air as he is on the air. He really is.
All right. So the main story I wanted to get to, Gavin Newsom, unfortunately, signed a new spending bill, our budget for this year. We're in $64 billion deficit right now. But he has an idea to help save us $17 billion.
I have an idea that would save us. He could step down as governor. That's my idea.
I would save a lot of money.
Yeah. So he has figured out a plan, apparently, to help save us $17 billion this year. And then he has increment plans for later
on. God, I almost hope he runs for president just so he won't be around here making making decisions.
So here are the three programs he's going to cut budgets on. Number one is the education system. Number two is the Medi-Cal expansion. And number three, our infrastructure. What's my number one complaint about our state, about our cities?
Well, and there's more with this infrastructure that meets the eye. They want to get us to stop driving. That's exactly why they want more toll roads. They don't want to have an infrastructure bill. And I don't suppose making California a sanctuary state and promising free health care and free college education has anything to do with the fact that people are just coming over in swarms,
right,
and getting people out of the job market. Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with our deficit at all, does it?
But guess where he's increasing spending now, actually, of all places? He says he is going to increase spending for supporting services for the unhoused and for immigrants lacking permanent legal status.
Yeah, so the people that don't belong here legally, we're going to take care of them, and just the heck with everybody else.
Yeah, I think he's purposely trying to kick all of us Californians out of here. I really, really think so.
Well, he succeeded. There are just millions and millions of Californians that have left since that guy became governor.
My military buddies can't get their benefits, and here this guy giving these illegals that cross the border immediate aid and comfort.
Yeah, Trump brought up something to that effect during the debate too. We're not taking care of our veterans, but we're taking care of people that are here illegally.
And honestly, Trump has done a very good job taking care of veterans during his presidency.
Veterans love Trump. I mean, again, all these statements are generalizations. There's always exceptions, but as a general rule, the military loves Trump, the police love Trump, the border patrol love Trump.
Hispanics love Trump.
Exactly. So these next two fiscal years, according to Newsom, we're supposed to save another $5 billion on top of that, and then another $7 billion the following year after that.
Yeah.
So we're looking at about 12 more billion dollars, which would get us down to $34 billion in deficit still. I mean, I get that the main focus is we got to cut spending somewhere at some point. But at the same time, look at what you're cutting. You're increasing the spending on things that are terrible for our country, terrible for our state, and yet you're decreasing on the things that are the most important in our state, the education, the infrastructure, and insurance, affordable insurance, mind you, for people in this country that need it desperately the most.
You know, it would save money really quickly if we stopped having him go to the laundry.
Yes, that could help a lot too.
The French Laundry. Well, you know, one of the famous songs about California is California, Here We Come. They're going to have to change that to California, Here We Go.
Yeah, exactly. I would really, really help that people look into reform California, maybe even look into the separate states.
Oh, I'd love that. Remember a couple of years ago, I had some guys on from New California. They needed a Republican House of Representatives to get it done. And who knows? I think that's about the only hope we have for Californians to do that. And they have a template for it. That's what West Virginia did when they anticipated Virginia seceding from the Union before the Civil War. They did a preemptive strike and annexed themselves from the rest of Virginia. Exactly how West Virginia was created is the template they wanted to use for New California. I don't know if that idea has been dead in the water all these years, but
I hope they bring it back again. I really do. Because again, Northern California is actually hurting the most for Southern Californians down here because they have no idea what we're going through, honestly. We're miles and miles away from them, and they think everything's hunky-dory over there, which probably is Sacramento. I don't know. I haven't been informed of anything that's been going on at Sacramento, personally. But here in Southern California, I'm getting news left and right, and nothing but horrible, horrible news.
It's always hunky-dory for the people making these laws.
It is. It's true.
They vote to defund the police, but they have personal bodyguards at home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, guys, so I had a couple of other stories, but we're going to save them from later.
There's always next week. Okay, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.